And now, Sports Day for Kia, the all-electric Kia EV6, Wheels Car of the Year, and Red Energy. Moving house? Call your local energy retailer. Red Energy.
Hurting like a lot of our players are at the moment about the way we're playing. You know, that's the bottom line. And we're supporting Dylan where we can, making sure he's really clear on the expectations, just like we are with all of our players. We haven't played with the hard edge that we need to for consistently enough throughout the season. And Sydney was a game where we were way off the level. It's not about Dylan Shield, it's about all of us as a football club.
Let's get lost tonight. 7 minutes past six. Hello and welcome to Sports Day. The mouthguards have gone back in at Tullamarine. It used to be Windy Hill, not so anymore. And Essendon, we can tell you tonight, have gone back to basics. They've told the board, they've told their players, they're scaling back the game plan and they're going back to the contested, the effort-based, the pressure-based side that made them a blue-collar finals team last year. The question is going to be, is it too late? A huge game against the Tigers on Saturday night for so many reasons. Yes, it's dream time. Yes, it's a huge game at the G. But this footy side, who was so impressive under Ben Rutten last year, need to start winning games of football if there is a glimmer of hope that they can get back up the ladder in 2022. So the question is simple for Bombers fans, 133-693. What are you expecting on Saturday night? Because everyone that you've spoken to has probably said there's got to be a response. The question is going to be, how long for? So 133-693, what are your expectations Saturday night? Is it a must-win game? Is it you don't think there's any chance they can win? Do you just want to see four quarters? Have you realigned your expectations drastically in the way that Essendon's football department have realigned the message to their players about effort, about consistency, about pressure? 133-693. We've got Spinalese pillows to give away. We've got family passes to Skydeck. We've got Signet Power Boost Banks as well, valued at over $60. Give us a call, 133-693. Very good evening to Bruce Eva.
Very good evening to you too, Sam. Good evening, everyone. I'm sure most Bomber fans would be just hoping that the time for talk is over. We know it's the nature of the industry with the coach having to face the media a couple of times during the week, and the size of the media industry covering football these days means that it has just been talked about ad nauseum. But, what type of reaction are we going to get? They've got the two resurgent sides before they've got their mid-season bye, being the Tigers, obviously, in Dreamtime, and then a trip to Adelaide to take on Port Adelaide, 2-7.
And those two games weren't looking scary 4 weeks ago.
Exactly. That's why, the two resurgent sides, the two wins, fell over the line against the Adelaide Crows and a massive last, quarter and a half against Hawthorn. They haven't beaten Richmond for 8 years. The Tigers won the past 11. Don't think they're getting anyone of note back into the side either. So,
and then after the bye, Beef?
Your Blues and then my Saints.
Which is a significant day for the footy club, isn't it? The 150th anniversary.
Yep, 150th anniversary and then a Friday night game against my Saints. So it's
doesn't get easier.
It does not get any easier. How they respond in just over 48 hours' time is going to be one of the most fascinating, if not the most fascinating, story of the weekend.
Yeah, so just to reiterate, so Josh Marnie and Ben Rutten have gone to the board and said that they are going to strip it back and basically realign their focus because they're not getting what they want, they're not getting the execution that they want, to just the basics of what made them a finals team last year. Now, that in itself is not drastic or necessarily dramatic. There are plenty of footy clubs, and I know of at least two others, who the footy department have gone to the board and talked to them about realigning elements of their game styles. It does happen fairly regularly in footy. The sexy part of this is that the Bombers are 2-7 and that there is something going on at that footy club, which we don't understand, that in 10 games they've gone from playing in a final to being third bottom on the ladder. That's what makes it an interesting story. Let's hear from Bombers fans. Stephen is in Greenvale. Kick us off, Steve.
G'day, guys. Look, all I want from them is to be intense, tenacious at the ball, throw your body around. I don't want them to go around knocking heads. I don't want that sort of rubbish. I just want them to play with that intensity that they played during the Anzac Day match. just play like every week is an Anzac Day match. Play with a bit of pride and just play to your potential. Don't go knocking heads and trying to be a hero. Don't be something you're not. Just throw your body around, be intense, and just play to your best potential. Even if you lose, I'll go home feeling proud.
That's what most footy supporters turn up wanting every week, Beaver, isn't it? Just honesty.
Well, it's what even the experts say, the non-negotiables. Their favourite phrases and words, aren't they? Effort and compete. And it's interesting, I'd written down Anzac Day before Stephen came on, because this is their next match, which is an event-like match. So whether it's manufactured arousal levels, I mean, we know the importance around Anzac Day just on the national calendar, let alone the football match. Now, this, of course, celebrating everything that Indigenous footballers have brought to our great game is what this weekend and next weekend is about. But again, a big ticket item at the MCG, big crowd, if they can't get themselves up for this and some sustained competitiveness, then really you do have to fear for Ben Rutten and his offsiders.
The hard thing is that they come up against a side who will be equally up for it and in a rich vein of form with some forwards that you wouldn't want to annoy right now. Bill's in Northcote. Hello, Bill.
Scoop, how you going, champ?
Good, mate.
Scoop, I've been bearing for the Bombers for 40-odd years, mate. They're going to get beat by about 8 to 10 goals, mate. There's not all good players out of Essendon's 22 missing. Apart from Bolter and Pickett of Richmond missing, they're fully loaded. They treat us like bunnies. They're going to beat us by 10 goals running away. Following week, Paul Power, Charlie Dixon in, 10-goal hiding. Have a week off, and then the Blue Boys get him, 10-goal hiding, and see you later, Rutten. And you might as well go get Clarko, Scoop. The board's got to look at each other. That Xavier Campbell's mucked up. I don't know how we got a 2-year extension. They've got to get Clarko, Scoop. There is no other answer for it, mate. The bloke's a good bloke, but he can't coach. Simple.
Okay. Bill's painted a pretty bleak picture.
That's passionate, though.
For red and black
bleak
fans.
Bleak, but passionate.
It is passionate. Speaking of passion, Mark from Men's Club, one of the most passionate Bombers you'll find, Beaver. It's just texted in, just want a four-quarter effort, which I think what a lot of Essendon supporters want. Thanks, Bill. Paul's in Warrnambool. Hello, Paul.
G'day, Scoop. Bruce, long-time Essendon supporter as well. I will be going from Warrnambool to the Port Adelaide game next weekend.
Nice.
And looking forward to it. I'd like to see them have a fair dinkum four-quarter effort as well. But they've also got to remember that Essendon don't play well in milestone games. Being a supporter of Essendon for a long time, I remember when Fletcher played his 400th game. So they say about not putting an effort in for Heppel's 200. They don't play milestone games well. They don't play Dream Time of the G very well for a long time. 8-10 years they haven't won. They've just got to get back and put their head over the ball and look for the support from within the group, rather than having the outside noise bring it along. If that makes sense.
Absolutely, Paul. And good on you for sticking by them. And you're going from Warrnambool to the Adelaide Oval, which is a great effort. Take a Signet Boost power bank. It's keeping your phone, your tablet and your earbuds powered 24/7. They are great to walk around with those things. You'll never be out of charge. And Bill from Northcote and Steve from Greenvale, give Lawrence a call back, 133-693. We'll find a spinal ease pillow and a family pass for 2 adults and 2 children to visit Melbourne's Skydeck for you as well.
They probably need a little bit of luck as well. And by that I mean we play with an egg. It's a fluky sort of game. You would expect they're going to be up and about early. They just have to be.
Have to be.
So
could be a couple of fireworks early, actually.
Yeah, but if they can, with some half chances early, you know, lucky bounce,
yep,
maybe a couple of Joe the Gooses over the top or a couple of fluky goals or whatever, and it's amazing then how momentum can be built. You still think Richmond will have more than enough artillery to handle the challenge for however long it is sustained by the Bombers, but you would like to see it not be peter out as a non-contest before halftime.
That's the issue that they've got is exactly what you just touched on. Lynch is kicking goals for fun. Bolton is getting closer to being the best player in the competition than he's ever been, I reckon. And Dusty is he's now third up, is he going to be?
Yep.
And you've just seen in his first two matches there have been glimpses and glimmers of, oh, hang on, he might be ready to take the game by the throat again.
What might be nice and tasty is the Nank against Big Draper. And
yeah, yeah.
Because we like the way Big Draper goes about things.
Yeah, and Nank's in great form. That'll be probably in the best three ruckmen in the comp right now.
Bulls in the paddock. So
he Gorn and Jared Witts, the best three in the comp right now.
Big on Jared Witts, aren't you?
I think Jared Witts is flying. I probably shouldn't forget the Saints. How are the Saints ruckmen going?
Well, as a combination.
Very well.
When they're playing together, yes.
We're here for Macca's. My Macca's Rewards has arrived. Earn rewards with every Macca's run. Ben Brown is playing game number 150 in the number 50. Beaver, he's going to join us next on Sports Day. Beaver, I'm so fascinated by this man's story, the guy who's just about to join us. So Ben Brown started his career at North Melbourne, started in what was a really successful period for the Kangaroos, who we know are going through a tough spot at the moment. And then in a three-year period, kicked 190 goals, more than, say, Jeremy Cameron did in that period. We know that there was a bit of a fallout. Fallout's not the right word, but things didn't work out at North Melbourne. He ended up landing at the Demons. And what a 19 games he's had so far for Melbourne.
19 games, 40 goals. 40 goals, 18, I had a look at today. He's
the sharpshooter.
Once again, he's on a hot streak. I don't think he's missed for 3 or 4 weeks. He probably won't like us saying
don't
that.
Don't put him the moz on him.
And, of course, in the middle of that 19 games, a premiership. So it's a hell of a story.
And on the weekend, plays his 150th, and he joins us on Sports Day. Ben, welcome.
Hello, gents. How are we?
We're good. Little trip down memory lane for you. Can you believe you're at 150 already?
Oh yeah, it has been a roller coaster in many ways. I was having a look. You know, Facebook brings up your memories, and I saw a post from about 11 years ago of myself playing footy down at Glenorchy in Tassie, and that took me right back. So yeah, the road's been a pretty long and windy one, but I'm very grateful for the position I'm in.
Is Glenorchy, Beaver? I'm just trying to. Is that Mitch Robinson territory?
Well, I'm older than you, Sam, so I'm thinking Peter Hudson territory, yeah. And they're the Magpies, aren't they,
the
Ben?
Magpies.
And we're black and white.
Absolutely, yep, dead right.
There you go. And now it's a nice, neat sort of 150 against the former club.
Mm.
Your first game as a Demon was against the former club, so there's lots of symmetry there, Ben, isn't there?
Oh, 100%. My first game for North Melbourne was against the Demons, so I'm trying to line them all up. Unfortunately, 100 was against Fremantle, I believe. So I did that one in. But yeah, it is funny. I'll definitely enjoy getting out there against the old mob and back at Marvel Stadium again. Haven't played there this year, so yeah, it'd be good.
Well, Ben, we spoke to Adam Treloar last night. Of course, he played against his former club. Last week, he plays his 200th this week. So your first game as a Demon was against the Kangaroos. Can you remember the emotions surrounding that and how hard or how raw that was? And are you expecting it to be a lot easier? This is only the second time you will have played against the Kangaroos since you changed clubs. And not will it be not nearly as hard to, what's the word, to negotiate?
Yep.
Yeah, well, look, it was there were definitely mixed emotions the first time, you know, particularly to be a first game for the new club. At that point, I was just trying to, figure out my spot in the team and playing with new guys that I hadn't really got used to playing with yet. And, you know, to have the playing against the old side in the same week, I suppose it was probably a blessing in a way that I could get both out of the way at the same time. But yeah, this week it'll be another great opportunity, I suppose, for the team. You know, we've been going really well for the start of the year, but you know, we lost a few games last year, probably against teams that we should have beaten. And you know, against the Eagles on the weekend, it wasn't all easy running either. So for me, it'll just be about trying to play my role for the team and help us get across the line again this weekend.
Ben, I know it sounds like a weird question, but footy, we're often told by coaches and players, is about, you know, motivation and consistency. How do you keep things fresh when you keep on winning and so convincingly?
Oh, I think our coaching staff in particular are pretty good, you know, and our leaders are pretty good at keeping us on task. You know, I think after last year, we know the emotion and everything that goes into a premiership, and we want to get there again this year. So that's a massive motivating factor, and particularly the fact we won it out of Melbourne, and Be great to get to that point again. But a lot of what we've been talking about is the process that went into that grand final success. And that was done during the year, games like this weekend. So I think, you know, we really understand the importance of every game and the importance of building the kind of team that we want to build and the kind of game that we want to build. And that game, as you said, is fundamentally based on consistency and consistency of performance. So it's important we're all putting our best foot forward every week, and it helps when we've got guys in the VFL at the moment that are AFL players really playing in the VFL. So I think in the last 2 weeks we've had three different guys kick six or more goals. So to have that kind of that pressure, I suppose, coming from the bottom means you've got to perform to keep your spot.
Yeah, and although there's consistency, the ultimate consistency with performance, there's no real fluidity with selection, but that's kind of working for you. I mean, last year you were in and out of the side, but found yourself in the team at the right time of the year. That was mainly the forward line. This year we've got Angus Brayshaw, Beaver, who's gone down back and is dominating, and suddenly when Hibbert and Salem and those sort of likes are available, they don't become automatic selections. And Simon Goodwin spoke, I thought, really well about that this week. So the competition for spots is probably helping.
Oh, absolutely. And we know that, and I think this is a good thing, that no one spot is set. You know, I think it really is based on performance as to how the team looks on the weekend and the selection process. So for us, we know that there's a lot of consistency in the decision-making there. We know that if we put our best foot forward when we're in the side, that we'll keep our spot. But at the same time, the guys playing in the VFL they're really pushing forward for those spots. So, it is a great problem to have. And it's also great that we've got that depth to cover some of these guys who have copped injuries at for the early part of the year. And we know that'll continue to happen. So, it's important to have those guys pushing up from the bottom.
Well, Ben, indulge us here. And I know you're not a selector, but if we could just talk about the magnets for a moment. So can you see at any stage, if Gawn and Jackson are in the side, is there any way you can possibly see the names Brown, McDonald and Wiedemann are all in the same side?
Oh, geez, it's a tough ask, isn't it? And I suppose that's what we've been battling with, I suppose, over the last year. And, you know, I get on really well with all of those guys. But we do know that we're probably fighting for, four of those spots out of five. Otherwise, you do tend to become a little bit top heavy. Look, I'd love to see it happen. I think we're all capable of playing good footy, and we'd be capable of playing good footy in the same side. But at the same time, you know, there are certain realities around getting the right balance of players out on the field. And, you know, that's probably where we sit at the moment is how it's been for the majority of the last year or so. So, look, it's up to Goody. If he's listening, give us a chance. But but I think for the most part, we'll leave that up to him.
Hey, Ben, as the key forward that you are, do you have a gripe or a little frustration right here, right now, with a rule that you think doesn't get implemented well enough, or something that, you know, the umpires have laxed on a little bit? That's not me asking you to have a go at the umpires at all, but, you know, the guy who usually sits here, Jared, is always on the fact that pushing the back beaver is never paid anymore. I'm just seeing, as someone that plays out of the goal square most weeks, what are you noticing in 2022?
Oh, geez, it's a tough one. This question does come up a bit. And I suppose, you know, I tend to just float with the way the game's going at the time and try to do my best to play it the way it is. Because as we know, that there are tweaks that happen within the game. So, look, I'm pretty happy with it at the moment. If they could pay a few more free kicks for the key forwards, that'd be great. Doesn't matter how. But, look, to be honest, I think the game's in pretty good shape.
And you appear very cool and calm on the field. If you thought the decision didn't go your way, would you right here, right now, if the ball was 200 metres away, politely have a conversation with an umpire? Or given the last sort of 8 weeks, is talking to umpires just too dangerous right now?
Oh, no, I think the immediate reaction is probably what's being put under the microscope. I think most most umpires that I've talked to, and I have had a couple of conversations, you know, at different times, whether it's quarter time when everything finishes and you can kind of come back and ask about a decision, or, you know, say, oh, I think that this guy's holding me in a marking contest. Look, can you have a look at it? Generally, they're pretty good about that stuff. So, yeah, I think probably it's that immediate reaction, and it's what's on the telly, and it's what everyone can see, and I can understand that. But yeah, I think there is still an opportunity to have those kind of conversations. It might just be a little bit later on in the piece.
Ahead of his 150th game, Ben Brown's our special guest on Sports Day. Ben, Sam and I both like to think that we've got a fair grasp on footballing history, and we're having a chat off air just before you came on tonight, and I'm sure you've told the story before, but we can't recall, why do you wear number 50? I know you've obviously been asked about it over the years. You mightn't have had to tell the story for many, many years, but we couldn't put a finger on it as to why you actually do.
Yeah, so I was actually quite late to join my first footy club. I always played school footy growing up and wore my uncle's number. It was James Manson, who played at Collingwood and Fitzroy. So he wore number 30. So I wore that growing up playing school footy. When I went to my first footy club, was Devonport Footy Club, my hometown. I was a bit late to pre-season because I was playing basketball at the time, and I rolled in, and the only jumper that fit me, it was the right size, was number 50. And so I went, yep, that's my number. And every club I've moved to since I've asked for it, I thought, well, it's a nice sort of even number right there in the middle, and no one's going to fight me for number 50, so I can have it wherever I go. Yeah, so that's the reason. I thought it'd be nice and clean to have the same one as I went on. So, yeah, that's the reason.
Well, you've kicked 327 AFL goals in it. It's proven pretty successful, and on the weekend you'll run out for the 150th time, which in itself is a nice even number. Ben, congratulations on everything so far. Good luck on the weekend, and let's hope to see you deep in September again.
Thanks very much, guys.
Ben Brown, Melbourne forward. More Sports Day after this.
It's time for the teams. Thanks to APCO. Win a Vespa. On now at APCO.
Welcome back. Sam McClure, Bruce Evo with you. Let's go through the teams all games. Carlton and Sydney. It's a huge contest at Marvel Stadium. Could get close to 50,000, I reckon, Beaver.
Well, there's no could about it. If it doesn't, I'll fall off my chair.
Oh, just please. How many times do they get 50,000 at Marvel? When's the last time they had 50,000 at Marvel?
Well, I don't know. I haven't got the numbers in
and
front of me.
And I'm saying it's Carlton.
Match of the round.
Carlton against a non-Victorian side, and you're scoffing at me. Can you just let me make a big statement and go with me?
Carlton flying. Well, it's not a big statement.
I think it's a big statement.
I'm surprised we haven't heard that it's a sellout yet. We heard last week that Collingwood Bulldogs was a sellout, and they got 44,000. But
never believe a sellout.
It will be heaving tomorrow night.
Lewis Young and Liam Stocker in for the Blues, so they get a couple of soldiers back. Kemp's been dropped, Nunes managed, and Williams injured. Jeez, I hate when they bring in two and drop three. The whole Medi-sub thing is stuff the teams. Anyway, it's a gripe of mine. Colin O'Riordan in for the Swans for the suspended James Robotten. Ryan Clark was the Medi-sub. Had he seen that game, Beef?
Sydney, but with no confidence.
Yeah, it looks like a toss of the coin, doesn't it? We go to Adelaide and your Saints. Early game on Saturday at the Adelaide Oval.
It's actually Saturday night. I'm not sure why it's second on the list, but...
It is too. I beg your pardon. It's Saturday, but it is listed as second, is it not? Anyway, it is. We'll go through it. They get back Lockie Murphy and Riley Thilthorpe, the Crows. Himmelberg's been dropped, which I know will be of great interest to G. Healy, who's the number one fan, I think, of Elliot Himmelberg.
Himmelberg family generally?
Or? Yep. No, mainly Elliot.
Thilthorpe, of course, the hero in Cairns last year after St Kilda led 5-7 to nothing and then... managed to lose in the last 90 seconds in the wet.
Scholl's been dropped and in for St Kilda, as we already found out. Nazaia Wanganeen-Miller, who was an early pick, top 10. He was the man that famously was picked ahead of the local boy, Josh Sin, who ended up at Port Adelaide, but obviously comes from some great family roots.
Has been very good so far. Rested last week.
Yep.
And Marcus Windhager, who was terrific last week, coming on as... the Medi sub to replace the concussed Jack Higgins will start in the 22. He was
11,
superb
yep.
last week.
And
Windhager.
And well done to Bradley Hill in game number 200. Geelong, and I assume the Saints should get the job done there?
I hope so.
Geelong and Port Adelaide, which actually is the early game at GMHBA Stadium.
Here's a forgotten name.
Gary Rowan.
First game of the year? Has to be.
Yep. So he had a back injury in the off-season.
Yep.
And he actually has been the forgotten man. I mean, I forgot that Geelong were playing without him.
And I reckon I've read in reports over the last few days, has he even been potentially going to be used a little bit in the midfield?
Yeah, would make sense, given that they've added to their forward stocks. So him and Buse are in. Cooper Stevens was the medi sub. Myers has been managed, and Mitch Nevitt has been omitted. A little bit stiff. Port Adelaide get back Jonas and Dumont. Frederick, Fantasia and Dersma have all been dropped. Is that the second time this year Dersma's been dropped? I think it is.
Yeah, well, a few weeks ago he was medi sub, so
yep.
Yeah, that's right.
Fantasia dropped.
I reckon Trent Dumont would get a game for North Melbourne at the moment?
Yes.
A few weeks ago, he played one of the best quarters of footy I've ever seen him play. I think it was the third quarter against the Bulldogs on the Friday night.
Yep. He's one of those players that always had a fair bit of upside. But when a team like North were going the way that they were going, they saw him as, well, they don't think he's going to make them better long term. But that was the problem. When you cut that deep, you end up playing with kids that might not be ready to play anyway. We digress.
While I think about it, I mentioned Friday night, John Longmire is going to join 3RW football pregame.
Nice.
Tomorrow night before the big Blues-Swans match.
Well, it's a big game and the Swans have been in the headlines, so looking forward to hearing from Horse on 3RW football. North Melbourne and Melbourne. It's 4:35 at Marvel Stadium. Greenwood, Horn Francis, Simkin and Sherry in for North, so some good ins for
that
a side who need them.
That could be their centre square setup for the opening bounce.
It absolutely could be. In fact, it probably is. To be honest, Bontempi-Senavalagi has been dropped, as has Coleman Jones, which is not good news, as has Jaden Stevenson, which is also the second time he's been dropped this year. Jack Marnie injured. Lazaro was the medi sub. So, look, when you bring in someone like a Coleman Jones and North are going as badly as they are and he's been dropped, and Jaden Stevenson, who played some really good footy for North Melbourne last year, getting dropped for the second time, it just... Yeah, they've got some issues there down at North. Melksham back for the Demons. He's in for the injured James Harms. They've just got so much depth. It's not funny. And as we just heard from Ben Brown, he's playing game number 150. Let's go straight to Dreamtime. Huge contest. Tigers, Bombers, Gibkiss and Tarrant in for the dropped Nguyen and the suspended Marlon Pickett. We know that Noah Bolter is out with that hammy. Damien Hardwick told us earlier in the week.
The young and the old.
Devin
Gibkiss and Tarrant.
Yep. And Devin Smith is back for Essendon. He's been in and out of the side. Caldwell didn't get up after that heavy knock, and Cutler has been dropped. Any chance the Bombers?
No.
I would agree.
We want to see them give plenty of cheek for a long time.
Yep. A few weeks ago, we wouldn't have thought this was going to be as good a game on paper as it is. It's the Dogs taking on the Suns in Ballarat. Tim O'Brien is in for the Western Bulldogs for the ill Taylor Giray. And no change at Gold Coast, although because of 23, Darcy McPherson is the man that has been dropped. Wow, that could go either way.
Well, and this is no disrespect to Adelaide. They stuffed up a game in Ballarat a few weeks ago.
No doubt. No, that's true.
Losing by a point. Might have cost some of us getting 9 out of 9 that round, actually.
Did it?
Look, Gold Coast have been very, very good, but... they've actually got close to the... I'm now starting to argue against myself.
They're getting... Yeah, the last few games, they've gotten closer and closer to the Dogs.
To the Dogs, yeah. Although, no, there was one game they got blown off the park.
They got
the
beaten by
half.
10 goals when they were about 15 goals down at halftime, yeah.
Yeah. Still Dogs in Ballarat.
I'm tipping the Dogs with absolutely no confidence. And then we get into the... these are the Sunday squad games, so we'll just give you the headlines. Good to see Mick Walters back for Freo. Collingwood have got a lot of ins, including Mason Cox, who's been recalled. Jack Ginnivan's back. Jamie Elliott's back. Scott Pendlebury is back. That is good news.
Some firepower for the Dockers, though. As you said, Walters, Tabiner and Switkowski. Very important at ground level in their forward 50, Switkowski, for the Dockers, having a fine season in purple.
And GWS versus West Coast, which looks very one-sided. The Giants have named 9 ins. Can you believe that? Jesse Hogan is the main man of that, the headline.
And that might be the first time this year that an opposition of the Eagles have had more, I know it's a squad, more ins than West Coast have had.
Yep. Cooper Hamilton, Lachie Keefe have both been dropped. Lachie Whitfield is out injured. Nick Haynes is ill. Finn Callahan injured. So a couple of good outs as well. And the West Coast get back Gaff, they get back Shuey. We know that Liam Ryan is suspended. Jamie Cripps is ill. And then the Hawks and the Lions down in Tassie. Plenty of ins for both sides. Tom Mitchell's back. CJ Changwath Jath is back. Liam Shields is back. Finn McGuinness has been dropped. James Warple, the best and fairest winner, has been dropped. Jack Gunston, we know, is out with that injury. So Sam Mitchell, who said on Footy Classified on Monday, Beaver, that they're still trying to work out their best midfield mix, is continuing to play around with selection. And then both Robertson and Robinson are back for Brisbane, as is Ryan Lester. Marcus Adams out with health and safety protocols. Hawks play well down there, but Brisbane are flying.
Yes, yeah, Brisbane handling every challenge put in front of them at the moment. I mean, very impressive what they did to Adelaide last week. Crows got out to a 2.5-goal lead and with their tails up in front of their home crowd, and then Lions reeled off the next 8 goals. So wouldn't be surprised if it's a similar game where Hawthorn up and about, you know, passionate crowd down there at Lonnie, but Brisbane still to get the job
done.
Now,
don't look at the screen. Look at me.
Look at me.
Lawrence and Matt have done the research out the back. The last time there were 50,000 plus at Marvel. Do you want to take a stab at the year? Careful, we don't go off air.
Yeah. No. No idea.
2012, when Geelong played Essendon. So it rarely happens, Beaver. So my call, in fact, would be the first time in a decade.
So if there's 49,638 there tomorrow night,
I would have been wrong.
The place still.
I would have been
thumping and heaving.
More Sports Day after this.
A sports update thanks to Tyre Power. Save $100 on Cooper four-wheel drive tyres.
It is a significant amount of money. I'm aware of that, but it's the right amount of money for these players to be earning, given everything they do and what they bring to the game and the hard work they're putting in.
Welcome back to Sports A. That's the voice of Gillon McLachlan confirming the new CBA for the women's, a one-year deal. It's a 94% increase across the board. Tier 1 players will receive $71,935. They were previously getting just a tick over $37,000. I think, a lot of people will have different reactions to this, and I know that 1 year isn't enough, and I know that 10 home and away games isn't ideal, but year on year for where the game is at, that's a great result for the women, in my view.
Agreed.
Now, yes, you go, please.
They all listen.
Of course. Don't they?
So Patrick Keane, long-time AFL executive, still like to refer
to...
He's
basically run the place under Gillon for a long time.
One of the best journalists AAP ever produced as well. That's going way back into the dinosaur days.
Well, don't age him too much.
Well, he's the same age as me. Might have me by a year. He texted during the ad break, Carlton versus Sydney, brackets or South Melbourne, have a record crowd in Victoria of 45,000.
Right.
And that was set back in 1934 at Princes Park, which is the oldest standing head-to-head crowd record of any two clubs in the competition.
Which would be home and away.
I went back to him and said, of course, home and away, because the Bloodbath Grand Final
45.
In 1945 got almost 63,000 at Princes Park.
And they get 63,000.
Well, there wasn't a lot of stands there. It was only the old Gardner stand. But that is incredible for the home and away record. So
they'll break that.
Well, they should.
If they don't break that tomorrow night, something has gone wrong.
It'll be a disappointing crowd. It'll be like the 80.
Although you've already said the AFL are going to break a 10-year record at Marvel Stadium by guaranteeing that there'll be 50 there. So I can't wait to listen to 3LW football tomorrow night, in which John Longmire will be a special guest.
I'll be counting them.
And see Bruce Eva counting them. Beaver, finally, you're tipping the Swans in the hardest game of the round?
Yes, as we said earlier, with no confidence. And I think you said you're tipping the Blues with no confidence.
Yeah, I think the Blues will beat the Swans. I'm confident there's not going to be 50,000 there.
I surprised you during the outbreak. I asked you a question about the capacity of the SCG.
It can't be 46,000. Someone's
That's
lying.
What it says in the
There's
AFL
no way the SCG is at 46,000 people there.
46,817.
Night, everyone.